This is a mother-daughter podcast, but it is not for kids. This podcast will be discussing adult subject matter that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion advised.
Welcome to a special Oscar season episode of the Don't Look podcast. Woo! I'm Kat's mom.
And I'm Kat.
And this is a podcast where
I watch movies with my mom.
So you don't have to with yours. And it is our horror to watch.
Your pleasure to listen.
I hope so, because we dig deep for you people.
We do. I will say that I have been wanting to watch this one and specifically haven't because I knew we were going to do it for the pod, like, since you watched it last year. Mm-hmm. So I haven't watched it. I'm really excited to watch it. I don't know anything about it, really.
How do you not know anything about it? It came out last year.
I know it came out last year, and I know, like, some stuff about it. But I just know that, like, that one ad where they're on the cruise, like, that one scene that they kept clipping when it was on Hulu, where they're on the cruise ship. Mm. And he, like, whips the book away, and then the, like, woman next to her gives her another book. And that's the only bit that I really know. And I know that she's, like, getting really smart really all fast, right. But that's it.
Okay, so the Super 8 may remember from last year, I did mention that I watch all of the Oscar-nominated films for Best Picture every year. I make it a habit to do so. And this year I'm having some trouble getting a couple of them. I just can't seem to get my eyeballs on them. But I am working my way through them.
When is the Oscars again?
It's this month. It's coming up, and I'm way behind because I've only seen The Substance and Anora.
Oh, I really want to watch The Substance.
And The Conclave, or just Conclave. Those are the only three I've seen all the way through so far, and I am way behind because I have 7 more to go, so I better get moving. Yeah, I'm having trouble locating Brutalist and Nickel Boys for sure. I know I can see Emilia Perez on Netflix, so I'm going to be able to do that. And, what was the other one? I Never Left, or I'm Still Here, or something like that. I think it's I'm Still Here.
I know.
I have to locate that.
I think one of those, I'm not sure what one, is still at the Colonial, but I'm not sure. I know they're still doing The Substance.
I've seen that one.
I know.
It does me no good.
I know.
Which I'm still amazed that that is Oscar nominated, but maybe not. Maybe not. I don't.
I think we might do that one next year.
Things are very strange these days. Sometimes I'm just like, wow, this is okay.
Well, Emilia Perez won the best musical at the, what is it, Emmys?
Oh.
What is that other award show?
Well, I think, isn't Emmys for television?
What's that other award show where they
Golden
wanted,
Globes?
Golden Globes?
Is it Golden Globes?
It's Golden Globes.
Okay. I get confused. I only watch the Oscars.
I only watch the Oscars, and I vaguely know of the Grammys. Shout out to Chappell Roan, though, for winning Best New Artist. Y'all know I'm a Chappell Roan fan. And, like, everyone in the audience who was all, like, her career peers, they all sang Pink Pony Club together, and it was, like, such an iconic moment.
Oh, God, if I have to hear Pink Pony Club one more time. And it's not that I have a problem with Pink Pony Club.
It just got a bit overplayed.
It is so overplayed. It is so overplayed.
It's not my favorite. It's not even my top 3 favorite of her songs. Probably not even my top 5.
And it's a bop. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just I've heard it so many times, like, the words stop making sense. Like, it's just too many. I've been inundated. I'm sure if I, this time next year, I'll be like, yeah, I remember the Pink Pony Club. That's a bop. And I'll listen to it. But, like, right, don't hum too much or we're going to have to pay some money, which
we
can't afford.
I know.
So, yeah. We need to edit that out before Chappell Roan's lawyers come for us.
Oh, please don't. Please don't. It was so off key. Please don't.
But there you go. So, I mean, we kind of talked about it, but do you want to let the people know what we're watching since you kind of alluded to it a whole bunch?
Yes, we are going to be watching Poor Things.
Poor Things, and you better get your pencil ready, because there's a lot to say about this movie.
A lot of note-taking. So we've been using these, like, other notebooks that we got, and I only have, like, so many lines in the one section for note-taking on this one, and they're not very wide lines.
Well, I mean, for most of our movies, like, lately, that's been more than sufficient.
Oh,
but
100%.
This one, I think we might need to use up a little bit more space. Because there's, as I recall, and this is, you know, it's been a year.
It's been a year.
But as I recall, there's quite a lot to say about this movie. Mm. So this is 2003, rated R, with a running time of 2 hours and 21 minutes. And it's got Emma Stone, Mark Ruffalo, Willem Dafoe, Rami Youssef. Just like some really awesome people, directed by Yorgos Lanthimos, who has made some really quirky films in the past. I think The Lobster is one of them that just comes to mind immediately. And I think this one won definitely for costumes.
Won a lot of stuff.
And maybe cinematography because it's so pretty. But I don't remember for sure. But I know costumes for sure because the costumes are like out of this world. And it's just like a really very pretty movie to watch. Everything in it is just gorgeous. So, yeah. There's also a lot to talk about as far as uncomfortable moments. And I think this one's going to be a little bit tougher because it's, I think it will be hard to separate them from the plot.
Okay. Well, is there anything we want to catch the fam up on before, before we go into it?
I don't know. This has been like a January of regrets. I feel like it lasted about...
A January of regrets?
It lasted like 4,000 years.
That's true.
And nothing happened because it was like...
True.
I felt like every time I had some days off, the weather turned south. And same thing again is that the weather's supposed to be crappy starting tomorrow.
I know. No antler hunting.
No anything. Yeah. It's been just cold and... snowing or worse icing.
Yeah.
And just horrible.
I walked to work the other day and I was carrying my like metal water bottle through the ice rain that was pouring down, and I got to work and I had genuinely a sheet of ice on my water bottle.
Yeah, it's been really awful.
Awful.
We did go to the Firebird.
That was really fun.
That was pushed back until the 2nd of February this year just because we had the burn ban from all of the drought that we've been having over the fall. It was such a dry, dry fall, which is very unusual for us here in Pennsylvania. We usually get quite a bit of rain, which was great for trick-or-treats, but terrible for everything else.
Everything else.
Even when we were putting everything up, the ground was so hard, it was hard to get the stakes in. So, yeah, it got pushed to February, which was fine because we had a beautiful, clear night, but the days before that were rainy. And then the temperature dropped into the 20s. So what would have been a mud pit was then an ice rink. And nobody could feel their toes by the time it was time to go home.
That's very true.
So I'm really surprised not more people like hit the dirt because it was just so slippery out there.
It was slippery and it was just so cold.
It was so cold.
And I feel like the bird wasn't as big as it has been in previous years.
But she was thick.
She was thick, but I feel like she didn't exude as much heat as she tends to.
She did not, but she was very pretty when she went up.
She was very pretty and she had a lot of very big floaty ashes, which I think are really fun to watch.
Yeah, for those who are not familiar and maybe didn't listen to previous season's episode, here in the town of Phoenixville, we burn a giant wooden phoenix every year at the Firebird Festival. We light them up, well, we light her on fire, and you know, there's bands and vendors and food trucks, and you know, it's just like a giant bonfire that we all kind of get together as a community and do. It was funny because I had pictures up, and one of the girls at work was like, "What was that weird satanic thing that you went to?" I was like, "That was not a satanic thing, but it definitely does have pagan vibes."
This is like, it's the Phoenixville equivalent of like what I consider to be like sanctioned witchcraft. Like Punxsutawney Phil is sanctioned with socially acceptable witchcraft.
Socially acceptable witchcraft.
That's
like
what
it's
is.
As close as I've ever been to a Wicker Man. But like no animals are harmed in the making of the phoenix. There are clay birds that people can make in town and then fire in the bird, which is cool. And then you take home like a little ceramic bird that you made, which is really neat. And you can put your wishes and hopes for the future in there. And it's really nice when you kind of do it at the end of the year because it's kind of...
You're like setting your intentions for the new year.
For the new year and just like kind of burning off the old crap that you don't want anymore. Which, you know, still felt good even though it was, you know, a little bit into the new year here. So, I mean, that was fun. That was a fun thing that we did. But I cannot think of like one fun thing in January. Like I'm trying hard. No, and it's
I don't even. Like, I remember recording last episode, but only vaguely.
Yeah, it was 5 years long this January. It was so long, and just cold. Every time I had to go, like I had days off, the days were awful. They were just like super cold, super like dreary, like just that kind of cold that like just kind of cuts right to your bones. Not a lot of fun. So hoping that February, you know, I had my hibernation. I'm really hoping that February is going to be like a little more exciting. Although the weather tomorrow is supposed to be awful into Super Bowl Sunday. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds. We are so excited that the Eagles are going to be in the big dance again this year. And we are all pulling for them. You know, I bleed green in this house. That's just the way it is. I never had a choice. My dad is from West Philly, so we were always Birds fans forever. I remember I think I was like 5 when the Eagles were in the Super Bowl. The first time I ever knew about it. And then I don't think they were in the Super Bowl again until
I was in high school.
Yeah.
Which I distinctly remember, and we won that year, and it was awesome.
We did win that year, and then we were in it again, and I had to work, and we lost, but I do not have to work again, so I can't see why the boys shouldn't bring that trophy back home. That's all I'm saying.
Come on, boys.
Go Birds.
Go Birds. Granted, this is coming out way after the
Way
Super
after.
Bowl, so
way
you're after. You're going to hear our excitement and either be like, oh, you guys, you don't even know yet. It's going to be so lit. Or you're going to be like, oh, poor babies.
They were so excited. And look what happened. Never mind. So it's going to be one or the other.
I will tell you, this office that I'm in now is probably more into football than like any place I've ever either worked or gone to school or like any of that. So if we don't, I think it's going to be really rough on Monday. Like one of my coworkers is at the game.
Oh God, really?
Yeah,
they got tickets to the
Super
Bowl.
Her daughter works for the Eagles.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess then you could do that kind of thing. So good for them. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I mean, we've got that to look forward to on Sunday, which as of this recording is in 2 days. So we're all very excited. We've got our snackies ready to go, and go Birds. But weather tomorrow is going to be crapulent, so that sucks.
Yeah, but at least they're not playing.
But they're not
here.
Playing here. They're going to be in New Orleans. Although they do seem to play better in the weather, so I almost wonder if it would have been better that they were playing here. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, that's exciting. That's very exciting.
That's very exciting.
So hopefully that'll be good. But otherwise, I don't think I have any news. Unless we talk about ghosts.
Oh, we could talk about ghosts. We could have a little ghost corner. We haven't had a ghost corner in a really long time.
I know, because we've been sitting here waiting. And it's like, waiting I get patiently. It. We have to give them time. They just got off, like,
off a tour. Which
so okay. many tours. So
all
much
that
stuff.
They told us, all that and they didn't even directly tell us his name. They just said, he's coming. But
I thought it was Perpetua.
Yeah, well, it is. But they didn't tell us that. What's his face told us that because he's having that tour.
Yes.
That tour. And Papa Five Perpetua is going to be there.
Yes. Yes. And we're all like, is that like our Papa Five? And I was like, no, it's our Papa Five. And he is coming. And all we have now is a silhouette. And hopefully there'll be another chapter soon so we can kind of see what he looks like.
What's going on.
I'm thinking they're going to drag it out because that's, what, the 5th of July that tour is?
Yeah,
which is
I
right before
so.
The start of the U.S. tour. So, very excited. Very excited to see Papa.
Right. And they're on tour before that, aren't they? In the UK?
In the UK, I think so. Yeah. Right, so the US tour is over here. So I guess we'll find out.
I don't know. UK sees tours and me tours.
Yeah. I mean, there's no phones.
I know. So, but like, I also don't want to know.
Yeah. I kind of don't want to know. I kind of don't want to know. But I really want to know.
I really
and I'm
know.
Just excited for some new music because...
Yeah, I'm really excited for some new music.
I need something else. I need something more. So I'm very excited for that. So yeah. There you go. So not too much in the what's happening category because it's just... It's that time of year, I think, and we're just kind of getting through it, getting through the winter. But and it's a hard winter this year. It's not the nice soft winters we've been having. It is definitely a winter, so mm-hmm. We're just dealing with it. All right, so I guess we should go watch this movie because it's super long, 2 hours and 21 minutes. Oof, and
that's one of the longest ones we've done, I think.
Yeah, we have a lot to get through. We have a lot to get through. And I don't even know what snackies to have with this one because it's kind of like, I honestly couldn't say.
Well, it's British, right? She has an accent in the
it
trailer.
It is British, but there is definitely some travel that goes on. They go to many different lands. So I don't know. I think just like a pizza is fine.
Oh, I was going to say like a tour of the world.
Yeah, I don't really have it.
That's fair. I think a pizza is probably
more reasonable. I'm not trying to run to the Acme at this point. So let's just have a pizza and call it a day.
All right. That sounds good. That sounds good.
This is Bella. Bella, this is Mr. McCandles.
Hello, Bella.
She's an experiment.
Good evening.
Her brain and her body are not quite synchronized. But she is progressing at an accelerated pace.
Tell me, where did she come from?
I shall. For it is a happy tale.
And there is a world to enjoy, circumnavigate. It is the goal of all to progress, grow.
A woman plotting her course to freedom. And a nutful.
Talk.
Who's there?
Monsieur Fromage.
Monsieur Fromage, you.
Cheese to meet you. Guys, we have like an actual joke. Like someone set up and formatted a for real joke in this movie.
It's been so hard to find stuff to come back with for some of the last movies that we watched. So it was just a pleasure to have this already in here.
It was great. Now, this, I don't know what genre this actually is, but there is a lot of really funny moments in this movie.
Well, it says here, according to IMDb, it is dark comedy, steampunk, comedy, drama, romance, and sci-fi.
I would agree with all of those things.
Yeah, I think that's all accurate.
Yeah, I think that's all accurate. Dude, it's gorgeous.
It's very pretty.
It's such a steampunk vibe. I've always been very much partial to a steampunk vibe.
When you were little, we took you to the Steampunk World's Fair.
And I've wanted to go back ever since.
It was so cute. We got to meet Aurelio Voltaire. If you guys don't know him, he's fantastic.
I still have my daddy.
Yep, he gave her a little daddy bear. She was just like a little safari outfit with like the just below the knee pants and the socks pulled up and the pith helmet and the whole deal, and he saw her and thought she was cute and gave her a little teddy bear. It was the most adorable thing. It was great.
And I didn't know who it was at the time, and I regret it every day.
You were very small.
I know. I want to meet him again.
You're probably like 8.
I want to be like, yo, do you remember this thing that happened? And he'll be like, no. I'm like, that's cool, man.
Yeah, that was many years ago. I really think you were 8. Like, I think it was around that time.
Yeah, it was about that time, I think.
Yeah. So, and I just remember you're like, when we're steampunking, we're steampunking. But when we're just at the hotel, we're relaxing hotel people. And then they were having that lecture on Lovecraft, and you're like, well, I love crafts.
Again, I didn't know who Lovecraft was.
No, and it was adorable. It was so cute. I wouldn't expect you to know when you're 8. You shouldn't be aware of the eldritch horrors. Like, what the hell?
It's really, I really do want to go back and, like, now that I'm older and, like, have an appreciation for these things and be like, oh my god, this is so cool.
I don't even know if it's still going on. You'll have to look.
It was when I checked a few years ago. I have no idea if it still is. But that's a side. That's a side.
Yes, that is a side.
I am kind of sad that I didn't watch this movie before. Like, I know I was saving it so my first time would be for the pod. But, like, gosh, it was so good.
It's really good. It's really good. And also very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. I filled up every one of my lines.
I would say just don't watch this with your family.
Don't watch this with your family. I filled up. And, okay. Let me. I filled up every one of the lines that I have in this, like, new formatted notebook, and we didn't even include the just general nudity.
We did not include general nudity. We couldn't. It was too much.
It's you just, most of the movie.
It is most of the movie. Someone is nude.
There's a lot of corpses.
Yes.
That are getting operated on.
Yes.
Those are all corpses. Nude.
Yep.
There's a lot of the movie that takes place in a brothel.
Yep.
Where nude people are.
Naked ladies.
Naked ladies. So if naked ladies bother
we're just,
you?
Yeah. But we didn't include the ones that were just kind of hanging out doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like, so if the nude person was just, like, standing around, we didn't include it.
Yeah, well.
If something was actively occurring with the nude person, then we included it.
We included it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very hard to pare down everything. And there's also, I would say, many conversations that would be
very
included as
yes.
uncomfortable also, but
yes,
we didn't necessarily include those because literally
that's most of the
it's most of the film.
So let's talk about the concept here a little bit, because I think that will help understand why there's so much of this uncomfortable.
Can I just say, like, one thing?
Oh,
really?
Yeah,
quick
of
first
course.
This one was one of the ones that I could just see somebody just kind of sitting down to watch, like, as a family. It's like, oh, this is a movie. There's a lot of buzz, you know. Oh, Emma Stone is in it. You know, we love her. We've seen, you know, her other movies. She was great in The Help. you know, that kind of thing. And just not knowing anything about it and not realizing it and just kind of, like, diving in, especially because it's, like, an Oscar nominee. You're, like, I'm not going to necessarily think that it's going to be all this. And that is very much what had happened when I watched Wolf of Wall Street with my mom, which was kind of one of the impetus for this podcast that we're doing. It was just like, oh, yeah, I've heard a lot of buzz about this. Everybody's talking. It's been nominated for these awards. And sure, we like Leonardo DiCaprio. Let's just pop this on and see how it is. And, you know, the next thing, it was just like, you know, he's, like, doing drugs out of a stripper's ass, and it's, like, a whole thing. So, I mean,
and
like,
I think I forget sometimes when we're doing this that it's not just people, like, watching these with their younger children who are, like, in high school, but, like, with their adult children who are also out of, like, it's...
Yeah, I mean, it was my mom and I going to watch The Wolf of Wall Street,
and I was
absolutely nothing about it.
I was, like, maybe in middle school at that point, so...
Yeah, you were nowhere around, thank God.
I was in the basement. Yeah. I was, like, away, but I was still alive at that point.
Alive and in the house.
So...
And, yeah, it was just, like... It was mortifying at that point because literally I had no idea. My mom had, like, no idea what was going on, like, that we were going to be watching the things that we were going to be watching. We just heard this movie. We knew the actors who were in it and thought, like, oh, this will be a fun thing to watch. And I feel like this one can trap you into that because, I mean, the IMDb is just an account of the fantastical evolution of Bella Baxter, a young woman brought back to life by the brilliant and unorthodox scientist Dr. Godwin Baxter. Great. Sounds
great.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really
sounds
cool.
Really nice. And the pictures look very pretty. And you're just like, okay, I'm totally into it. And then you find out, like, everybody is naked and having sex constantly.
And talking about sex constantly.
Constantly. And that's, like, kind of the crux of the movie. So it's just like, oh, crap. What did I just get myself into? So honestly, I would just warn you off entirely of watching this with someone who maybe would make this more uncomfortable for you.
You need to have a really good, like, open relationship with your family.
Like, this is just, like, it's wild and over the top and lovely and something that probably should be seen by a good number of people. But, yeah, just watch it, like, by yourself. like, or not with like your mom or your dad or pastor or whatever, like just, or grandma, or like maybe, you know, your new brother-in-law that, you know, they just got married and you don't know him all that well. Like, don't do it.
And I mean, you know, some people have that relationship where it's like, cool. But like this, just be prepared at the very least, because this is a lot. You don't really get a respite from it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess like the crux of like the whole thing is, you know, you have the doctor, kind of like the mad scientist character, Willem Dafoe, who was raised by his scientist father to just be like all about the pure science. And he does almost like a Dr. Frankenstein kind of experiment on this young woman that he finds as a suicide in the river, and he was able to pull her out very quickly. So that, you know, I think he said there's still like some electricity in her, like some still like spark of life or whatever. But he feels like, oh, well, she was a suicide. She obviously doesn't want to live. And she was very, very pregnant. So he takes the baby, like as a cesarean section, and then takes the brain from the baby and puts it into the young woman's body. And then so the baby kind of grows, like the brain already will grow inside an already adult woman's body. So you're on that journey with Bella Baxter as she evolves
and figures things out.
But in the body of a grown woman. So hijinks ensue.
Indeed.
So really, it's like she just wants to explore the world. She wants to explore her body and all the sensations and
everyone else's body.
Yeah, that she can find. And that's what she does throughout the entire movie.
She's big on consent, though.
She is. But I mean, she speaks very, very bluntly because she speaks like a child, like a child. No filter. Like there's no, like she's not wise in the ways of society. She doesn't really has any use for it or time for it. She just, you know, like your kids would be like, oh, well, that person's really old. Look at how old that person is. Or like that person is really fat. Or, you know, why does that person only have like one leg, you know, or something like that. You know how kids are. And that's very much how she speaks and continues to speak throughout the entire film. So if she has a question about, you know, a person or sexuality or a feeling that she has, she's just going to tell you. No filter, no sugarcoating, no nothing. It's just like, let's go do this thing now.
And she also approaches everything from a very like scientific perspective, after being raised by the doctor, which causes another level of just her wanting to experiment and figure things out and just, you know, test her data, test her hypotheses, cause situations to try and figure out a way out of it.
Yeah. So that being said, I guess we can, I mean, I think we could probably just rattle off our uncomfortable moments because they happen every 15 minutes.
Do you want to do trigger warnings?
Trigger warnings for
suicide. Guns.
Yeah. Gun violence.
Abuse.
Mm-hmm. Alcoholism a little bit. Gambling a little bit.
A little bit. Little bit of drugs maybe, but like not really.
No, I don't remember any drugs.
Well, he just says he's on drugs at the end. But, like, that's more like,
but yeah, you don't actually see any drugs.
No. That's why I said, but not really.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really. I feel like we're pretty okay.
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right. Yeah, I mean, our first trigger warning is 9 minutes, 53 seconds. Our first uncomfortable moment, my apologies, is 9 minutes, 53 seconds to 10 minutes even.
I told you, we just get going.
Yep. And this is Bella Baxter playing in the doctor's surgery room that he has in his basement. And she's like, oh, I want to cut up the body too. And he's like, you can only cut up the dead ones. So she goes over to a corpse and starts playing with his dick.
Well, she cuts it off, I think.
I thought she was just like picking it up and putting it down. And then she stabbed his eye.
She did stab his eyes.
I just thought she was like picking it up and putting it
down.
Oh,
I just assumed she cut it off. I don't know.
Oh, maybe she cut it off.
I don't know. Maybe she didn't. Either way, it's there.
It's there. She like hangs out with it for a while.
She does. She for as long as that uncomfortable moment is.
Yep.
So A number one.
Easy
to miss.
Yep.
But that's okay. There's worse ones coming.
Yeah. At one point, I will just say, like, at one point, we do just get to the brothel, and it's just kind of, like, every couple minutes, if that, at that point. So, just be ready.
I will say when these things happen, it's like with no warning and just like, boom, we're doing it now.
Yeah, boom, we're doing it now.
There's no like lead in. It's just like, this is happening. You go from like one scene to the next and it's like mid-sex.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is fine. And it's like an enjoyable thing. It's just not great with your mom. The next uncomfortable moment. Gosh. And it's, I feel like it's almost worse that we then bring up all these things and then talk about them together.
It is. It definitely is.
It's 100% worse. The next uncomfortable moment is 25 minutes, 48 seconds to 27, 40 seconds. And this is when Bella demonstrates at breakfast that she figured out how to make herself happy whenever she wants.
Yes, yes. And she tries to show other people how she makes herself happy. And
using various foods on the breakfast table.
Yes. And it's not something that one does in polite society. And I think she tries to show the maid and she grabs her and she's like, she grabbed my hairy business.
She would say that.
She tries to show Max, who is been hired by
Godwin
Baxter to kind of record her progress and like kind of
like take notes on her.
Yeah, take notes on her and see how things are progressing. And she's like, look what I do this thing and it makes me feel great and I'm so happy. And
here, I'll use this cucumber.
Yes, she's like, stop working yourself. You can't do that. It's not done in polite society. You need to
but again,
stop.
She's got the mind of a child. She doesn't know.
So she's just like, it feels good. I'm going to do it. There's, you know, why not? Like, I've got no reason not to. Like, I'm not hurting anybody. I can just do it all as much as I want. And that's what she does. At the breakfast table.
So in between this bit and the next scene, Godwin wants Max to marry Bella. And they like start drawing up a marriage contract because Bella is going to have to stay with Godwin and Max like in the house at all times. They don't really want her like going out that much.
Yeah, they're very protective of her at this point.
And the person who was writing up the contract that I cannot remember his name, scuzzy man.
Really.
I don't like him. I mean, you're not supposed to.
No, I mean, that's the name we're going with. Scuzzy Scuzzman.
I figured...
That's Mark Ruffalo's character, Duncan Wedderburn.
Duncan, that's right. Duncan, finds Bella. Like, he's like, oh, I have to pee. And he finds Bella, like, in her room, hanging out by herself. And, like, flirts with her and is kind of gross. And then later, at 34 minutes, 30 seconds to 34 minutes, 35 seconds, he, like, climbs outside of her window at night and, like, is peeping in on her as she's working herself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
So all this happens, and then he's like, well, they want to keep you trapped here. Come away with me. And she's like, psh, okay. So she's agreed to marry Max, but she's like, I need adventure. I'll marry you later when I get back because I need to see things. And y'all aren't letting me out, and I'm a go because I need to know, and I'm a scientist. And, you know, Godwin doesn't really have a choice. He kind of, like, is like, well, yeah, you are, and you do need to, like, do your experiments, and I guess I can't keep you here. So he lets her go off with Wedderburn, I think just because he understands that she needs to do these things because his father was a scientist who did like crazy shit to him all the time, terrible things. And then he's a scientist. He's figuring these things out. He made a bunch of animals around that are like half duck and half goat and all these
half
other things.
Half dog, half chicken.
Yeah. So, I mean, he needs to do his experimenting and... He's very disfigured on his face and his body is just all disfigured from these experiments his father did. So he can never leave really and be out in public just because of the way he is. So I think he is like, well, you know, she can go. I'm going to let her.
And I think part of it also is that he was curious to see what would happen.
Right.
It was an experiment for him as well to let her out into
right.
the world.
Right. So it was like a double experiment, I guess.
So she travels away with Duncan to Spain?
Lisbon, Portugal.
Um, And they do some experimenting of their own. That's 41 minutes to 41:23 of them having sex. And then we got like another scene of them exploring Spain, I guess. Or Portugal, I'm sorry, I guess.
Lisbon.
Of them exploring Lisbon. And then back at it again at from 42:48 to 43:18.
Furious jumping.
That's what they call it, right? And then he is going to perform conilingus on her and is like, why'd you write on your inner thigh? And she's like, well, I met this guy. And he was like, I bet your skin is the softest that I've ever felt. And she's like, well, you should touch my inner thigh because that's the best spot to know because it's like the softest spot. And one of them was softer than the other. And I had to know which was which. So I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. And he gets very upset and leaves and like all of this stuff and finds out that she's just like giving herself away freely to anyone who wants her. And he gets very possessive and very upset. So he locks her in a trunk and takes her onto a cruise ship.
Yeah, because in her mind, she's just like, well, I needed to release something and he was there to do it. So yippee-ki-yay. Might as well, yeah. And I mean, you can still do it. So what's the problem? Mm-hmm. Yep. So locked up onto the cruise ship, which she did not appreciate because she felt like he was just trying to keep her prisoner at sea. And the whole reason that she went with him is because she didn't want to be a prisoner at home. Mm-hmm. So she's pissed off, but that's okay because she makes new friends.
She makes new friends with Marge, mm-hmm. who is my favorite character, I think. So she and Marge's friend Harry, and they all talk about philosophy together. And she learns more things, and she becomes like more educated and like higher speaking than she was before, which causes Duncan to like her less.
Right. And Harry is a cynic. So he is just like, everything is awful. It's always going to be awful. This is the lesson you need to learn. Like, humanity is fucked. Like, we're not going to get any better. We're just like all terrible people. And that's the end of that. Like, what the hell? And he goes to she's like, yeah, well, I don't believe you. He's like, I can show you. And she's like, yeah, I'm into it. Show me everything. So when they dock at Alexandria, they're having tea in a restaurant. And then he's like, okay, well, do you hear that? Like, there's all this, like, crying or screaming that they can hear from the restaurant. He takes her out to the balcony and they look down and they see all the poor people that are below that are like starving and dying, and the babies are dying and they're all kind of laying there, and it makes her very upset. So much so that she takes all of Wedderburn's winnings that he got from gambling while he's passed out drunk, and she gives them to the stewards who say that they're going to give them to the people, like the poor people down below that need the help. And needless to say, he gets very angry, and then it cuts out that he has no money and they get tossed off the ship.
Yep. So they get tossed off the ship in Paris. And they don't have any money, and Duncan's freaking out. He's like, well, how are we gonna like afford anything? We can't get a hotel. And Bella's like, I can get you a hotel. It'll be fine.
Yeah, she's like, this is an experiment. Like, these are like the explorers have had to do this a lot. Like, I'm sure we can figure it out.
So she goes and she finds this woman outside this building, and she's like, hello, is this a hotel? And the woman's like, are you looking for work? You can pay me 10 francs per hour for a room, and then have them pay you 30. So you'll still make 20. It'll work out great for you. And Bella doesn't quite understand, but then once it's explained to her, she's like, ah, yeah, totally.
It's like, I can do this and he'll pay me for this?
He'll pay me for this? Really?
Oh, okay. She doesn't see a problem with it because she's not like grounded in the roots of society. So she's like, yeah, that's no problem. I need money. I can have sex with anybody. So, I mean, that's fine.
So from 1 hour 27 minutes 10 seconds to 1 hour 28 18, she goes and has sex with this man in this room. And he's like so thin.
He's very thin.
He's very thin and very spooky. He's very much like the bottom half of Nosferatu.
Aw.
Did you not think that?
At least he was nice about it.
Oh, he was 100% like a chill guy. He didn't, like, speak, really, but, like, that's what he reminded me of.
He said thank you.
Oh, yeah, he said thank you. But, like, that's what he reminded me of. I don't know. I put down that he was a three pump chump as well.
He didn't nom her up at the end. No, so no. She died. Yeah. So that was good.
That was good. But that's what he looked like to me. So then Bella goes, oh my God, look, I got us these eclairs with money that I got from,
yeah, from this guy. And it's like, you always told me you were the best and I didn't really have anything to compare it to. But now like this dude was crap and you were so much better, which makes me like, feel a little bit better about you.
I had to laugh. He was so horrible.
Yeah, so it's like, I've been kind of mad at you because you've been acting like this lovesick chump for forever and like kind of getting me pissed off with your jealousy and what have you. But now I feel a little better because this guy was much worse.
Yeah.
And he's like freaking out because now she's like a sex worker and she's like selling herself for money and how dare she, and you know, all these things. And he's like all pissed off and he's like, well, screw you, I'm going home. And she's like, fine, I will give you some money and you can leave. And he's like, what? And she like lifts up the hem of her skirt where Godwin had sewn in like all of this extra money just for an emergency. And she's like, here you go. And he's like, what? You had cash? Like, what are you doing? And she's like, yeah, it was for an emergency. And he's like, it's been an emergency. But she doesn't see it that way at all. She's like, I can easily get us money. Like, what's the problem?
Yeah, it was an experiment. Like, I was hoping someone would rise up to the occasion, but that had to be me. So we're fine. Yeah, like, I'm fine. You're the one that's being a baby.
Yeah, like, I can always get more. Like, what is the big deal? So he takes all of her money and leaves. So she's like,
and he calls her the C word so many times.
Yeah.
So if that makes you uncomfortable, just, like, watch out for him talking.
It does not make me uncomfortable.
It doesn't make me uncomfortable either, but I know it makes a lot of people uncomfortable.
It is my niece's favorite word, so I'm not that worried about it, but there it is. So she's like, welp, guess I'll go like back to the brothel now because I'm going to make my own way. So there you go. So she goes back to the brothel.
Yeah, and from 1 hour 32 minutes 7 seconds to 1 hour 33 minutes 5 seconds, she has sex with a meat merchant. Mm-hmm. And then 1 hour 38 minutes 36 seconds to 1 hour 39 minutes 24 seconds, she has sex with a bunch of other people.
Yep.
And then 1 hour 40 minutes 10 seconds to 1 hour 41 minutes 55 seconds, she has sex with someone. And then it like cuts to her in the surgery room because she's like hanging out there earlier between the other scenes.
Yeah, with her friend. She made like a friend who kind of like takes care of her and they hang out a little
who
bit.
Who is like probably my second favorite character. Yeah, I think she's really cool. Sweet.
Yeah, she brings her tea and stuff. She's really nice.
Yeah, she's very nice. She's like, hey, I know that must have been rough with the meat merchant, but like, I'm going to help you out. Here's some tea and here's some stuff because I know he's stinky.
Yes.
But yes, and then she has sex with this dad who wants to teach his two boys how to have sex.
Yeah. Which, I wonder if that really happened.
I'm stuff like that. Sure.
Probably,
it has.
Right? Like, isn't that weird?
I mean, like, I feel like you see it a lot where there's like shows and stuff where it's like the guy and he's like, I'm going to get you a prostitute so you can learn how to have sex.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't think it was like the dad demonstrating. No, that was like a joke in one of the Monty Python movies. Like, I wasn't sure that people actually did that.
I just figured, like, I don't know. I don't know. Which that was fun. And then at 1 hour 47 minutes 11 seconds, her friend that she made at the brothel eats her out, which is very sweet. And then that's our last uncomfortable moment. Well, I just think it's nice. Like, she made a friend and they you know. Like, I just feel like it's a nice, I don't know. I just like thought that it was like a nice moment for their friendship.
Was that the last one?
That was the last one.
That was the last one.
That was the last one.
And what was the time stamp on that one?
One hour 46 minutes 35 seconds to 1 hour 47 minutes 11 seconds.
Wow. So you get like half an hour where you can just sit back and relax and watch the end of the movie.
Yeah, which, whoa, so much happens at the end of this movie. Like, you think it's ended, and you're like, oh, this is so cool. Like, we know what's good. Like, I can predict what's going to happen. I'm sad that the friend's not here. And then, whoa, nope, hold on.
Yeah.
And the friend comes back, and it's like, oh, yay, best friends. I was really invested in their friendship.
You were really invested in their friendship, which is why, like, when it took a sexy turn, I was surprised you were into that, because, like, I didn't think that was something you'd be like, oh. I thought you'd be like, oh, it went there, instead of like, aw.
don't know. I feel like that's the type of friend that Bella would want to have.
Well, I guess that's true.
And I feel like, you know, if they are, you know, happy with that as an aspect of their friendship, then that's good for them.
Well, probably once she gets married to Max, who, like, she still seems to want to do that, like, that aspect would probably be gone.
I don't know. Maybe there'll be a throuple.
I don't know if Max can handle that. I mean,
I don't know that Max can handle that.
Like, he's pretty forward thinking, though.
But I feel like he could handle it, like, if he was mentally okay with it. I don't know that he could physically handle it. So I think it'd be like she has two partners and he has one partner.
Well, I mean, this is kind of like a reverse of the normal, like, 1800s, early 1900s kind of relationship where the man is always, like, so experienced and can do whatever. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it's Bella. And I really kind of get the feeling that Max is just kind of, like, hanging out at home. Like, I can't imagine, like, Max is, like, out at the brothel, like, doing his thing. Like, I don't think he'd be frequenting. He really kind of feels like that homebody who's just, like, back home doing science, you know?
That's 100% what he's about.
Taking care of Godwin.
He's a cute little nerd.
Yeah, he's really adorable. Rami Malek does such a good job.
He does.
I love
him.
I love him in this. Yeah, so, I mean, we don't have to go on and spoil the whole thing. If you've... Or Rami Youssef, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say Rami Malek. Yeah, I guess... Because I was thinking, that's not Rami Malek.
I didn't think that was him, but Rami, I'm bad at actors, so... Yeah.
And it's Rami someone. How did I confuse them? Yeah, so we don't have to go ahead and spoil the whole thing. I mean, really, it's only a half an hour you have left, and a lot does happen. So if you've made it that far, you really kind of deserve to find out for yourself what goes on. It's kind of like the little icing on the cake, because it is quite interesting to see where it goes. And it's not, I should have seen it coming, and I didn't.
As well. And I think it's really neat to see, like, her analytical mind in this process as well.
Yeah, it was definitely something cool to see.
Yeah, because I think really it happens as an experiment as well, which is, you know, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. So, I mean, I know we kind of went through all of those moments really quickly, but that is how quickly they happen.
Yes.
And you are not prepared. And the next thing you know, boom, boom, boom. Like, here it goes.
And it's not even, like, much happens in a lot of those scenes, except she's just having sex with somebody.
Yeah, I mean, it's just blatant sex.
And I don't know that you need to know more than that. Like, it's, no. There isn't more than that.
I think at one point it was a priest. I thought that it was, like, the best sex that she's having in the whole place. And she's like, you have a gift.
God gave you a gift.
And he turns around and he's wearing the priest collar. And you're just like...
He turns around and he's like, it's a plight or something like that. Like, he's, like, so unhappy about it.
Yeah, but, I mean... If you can get through all of that, or, you know, if it doesn't bother you or it doesn't make you uncomfortable, or you're just, like, chilling with your friends watching and it's no big deal, then by all means, do it. Like, this is a great movie. I cannot imagine watching this in a theater.
Oh, I would 100% watch this in a theater. 100%. I feel comfortable watching this in the theater more so than I did watching probably, like, Reanimator. No. Like,
this is more comfortable than Reanimator.
I would 100% watch this in a movie theater.
But, I mean, here's the thing is, with Reanimator, like, you knew the audience that was there knew what they were getting into, and everybody was aware, and it was a thing. Like, when this movie came out, and if you just, like, went to go see it in a theater, nobody knew it was coming.
No, but I feel like what happens is so vanilla compared to, like, what could have happened, except for that, like, one bit, which was kind of weird, where it's, like, the guy on her leg, that was gross. But
okay,
I'm not to, like, shame, but, like, that was weird. Yeah, but, like, I would watch this in a theater. I over, like, so many other things that we have watched would watch this in a theater.
I guess that's true. There's just, like, an overwhelming amount of it. There's just so much.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much.
I think this would be a great movie for, like, a girls' night.
Oh, yeah,
if you're that type of girl,
if you're that type of girl, you're kind of nerdy.
If you're, like, you know, party girls, no. But if you're, like, nerdy type of girls who, like, would sit down and, like, actually watch this movie drinking wine and, like, chit-chatting about philosophy, 100%.
It is very, like, female forward. Like, do what you want. It's your body. Like, whatever you want is cool.
Yeah. And if you're watching this for your girls' night, let me know. Because I think, yeah, you're the type of girls I would want to be friends with.
All right. And I guess that kind of wraps it up.
Yeah. I guess our ratings?
Yeah, go ahead. This was really uncomfortable. It's really,
well, I was going to start with how good it was.
It's really good.
I'm so tempted to give it a 10. I feel like I might need to give it a 9 out of 10, a 9.5 out of 10, but I want to give it a 10. So I think I'll just give it a 10.
Give it a 10 if you feel like you want to give it a 10. I'm going to give it an 8.5 for me.
Oh.
I think it was really, really good. I don't think it was like up there for me as like one of these like really, really.
I think this is one of my favorite movies.
Like, I don't think it's changed my life, but I think it was great.
I think it changed mine.
Okay, well, I'm glad. I'm glad.
I'm going to give it an 8 on the uncomfortability scale.
I will also give it an 8. I agree with you on that.
I think a lot of that is because it's diluted with comedy in a lot of ways.
It is. It's really a very funny movie. If we didn't say that enough in the beginning, which I don't know that we did.
I don't know that we did.
It's very, very funny. The way that Bella Baxter delivers her lines, just it's very... It's like having a five-year-old in a woman's body who's just like telling it how it is.
Shout outs to Emma Stone because gosh damn, that's an amazing performance.
Yeah, I mean, she's just like your little sassy pants five-year-old who's just like, this is this, that is that. But she's grown. She's so it's grown. Like she's unstoppable at
and
that point.
The way that she dances in that one scene is so much like watching a toddler dance.
Watching a toddler dance.
But like in a full-grown person's body. Yeah. Like, she
the way
did
that she
such
walks,
a good like everything.
Like everything, it's great,
amazing. And I don't know if that was all you, if the like how much the director helped you out on that, but like kudos because I'm impressed.
Yeah, it was very good, and the comedy is very
spot
it's,
on.
It's delivered so lovely, and the reactions to everyone else, like listening to this person who like should not be saying these things but is anyway, is phenomenal.
Wonderful.
So it's very good, very, very good, and very uncomfortable, and there's really no way to get around it because you might as well just not watch the movie.
A lot of why it's an 8 is because of the dilution of comedy, and then also because what's happening is pretty vanilla. Like, there's not a lot of like really weird or really bizarre or like really gross.
No, but it's very in your face.
100%.
It's very, very there. It's, if they're not having sex, they're talking about it. So, there you go.
Which is why it's an 8 and not, like, lower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say so.
Yeah. It's very good. I very much enjoyed it. Would watch again.
Yeah. Would definitely watch again. It is a good one. It was a good one. But I think I would pick my time and place.
Yeah. I don't think I would watch it with you again.
No.
Although, I'd watch it for girls' night if, you know, anyone out there wants to come do that.
I think it would be a great movie for girls' night. I do agree with that. I think that would be awesome.
Well, we can go have separate girls' nights.
Have some Booksmart girlies sit around and watch Poor Things.
Oh, my God,
I think that
would
be super fun.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, dig it. Dig it. And yet, it lost to Oppenheimer, so there you go.
Another movie about a man swinging his dick around launching nuclear explosions.
Exactly. Exactly. So, on that.
Honestly, like such a commentary on that versus this, it's like a whole nother thing. I'm not getting
completely
into that.
Completely. Yep. And we're not gonna go there. That's can't even imagine who's gonna win this year, but I am still psyched that Substance is up there.
That's for our film analysis podcast.
I mean, a horror movie, which God, when was the last time we had a nice horror movie up there with The Omen or The Exorcist or something like that? And it's also very woman forward, and it deals with a very real issue for women. So I am really very happy to see it up there. I think Demi Moore does a fabulous job in it. And the person who plays the other version of her, who I think is Andie MacDowell's daughter, I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but she does a phenomenal job. And it's really, most of it is just the two of them going through this with some ancillary characters just around. So good for them and good for getting the Oscar nod. I think that's fantastic. So I hope that they do well. It's not going to win for best costumes because everybody's nude in it most of the time. But I think they did a really good job, and I'm excited that they're up there.
Do you want to talk about a pop culture moment or no?
I mean, we can. Sure. This is a pretty succinct episode, so I feel like we have some time.
We've got like barely an hour, and normally we have two. Mm-hmm. So... first off, I do want to say this would be a great one for our analysis podcast if we ever do that. Like, bookmarking it in my brain now because 100% would love to deeper dive into this. 100%. But pop culture moment, nudity thing reminded me of it. Did you see what Kanye's wife was wearing
Everyone
at the Grammys?
Saw.
Sean did not see. He's like going on about Kanye's tweets, and I was like, no. Did you see what his wife wore at the Grammys? Because she wore nothing.
Well, it was just a sheer nude dress.
But
like,
it was,
she did have something on. She might as well not have.
Yeah, she might
it
as well
better
not
if
have.
She didn't.
And she just looked so uncomfortable the whole time.
Yeah,
that's, really, like,
that was
so
the thing.
It's
like she looks like she was held hostage.
Yeah, like she was not happy about it.
And I don't think they were like really supposed to be there either.
No.
So that was kind of the other thing.
No.
But, well,
and like all of the guys coming to like Kanye's defense and like her defense versus all the gals coming to her defense is like very gross and like sus. It's not like... Like, the fellow women are like, no.
Girl, you okay?
Girl, you okay? Girl, blink twice if you're in danger. And then
girl,
all the men are
like,
she can
like
dress however she
there.
Wants. And we
girl,
all know, we all know if it was someone else that had done it, like a woman who actually wanted to do that and was there by herself, all the guys would be calling her like a whore and
yeah.
all this stuff.
Oh, for real. For
so
real.
So I just thought that was crazy. Another thing that I thought was related, but crazy.
Well, thanks for bringing us some pop culture with Kat.
Pop culture.
Pop culture
with Kat. Do we want more pop culture? Because I have been watching some of the animated movies, and I watched Wallace and Gromit, and then I went on the whole thing.
I also watched Wallace and Gromit.
We watched it together. We are big Wallace and Gromit fans in this house. But I went on like
I loved it.
You already know about this because I talked about this with you yesterday.
That chicken or that penguin did hard time.
Hard time that penguin did in the zoo.
Hard time. And he showed it when he got out.
I did not realize how many Oscars Nick Park had won for Wallace and Gromit. And then one of the years he didn't win for A Grand Day Out, which is great because that was their first film. And I don't think they should have won. He won for Creature Comforts, which I thought was amazing. So he's won like pretty much every year he's put something out, except for, you know, the Bakelite girl for Loafer Death. But I just thought that was really cool. I'm really into Wallace and Gromit, and I'm so excited that I'm finding other people that are into it, because it was always like that thing that I'd be like, you know, Wallace and Gromit, and people would be like, what? And I'd be like,
how
never
do people
mind.
Know Wallace and Gromit? Is it just because like a British thing and like Americans are dumb?
A British thing and Americans are dumb, and I think a lot of Americans, especially in like this day and age, are uncultured.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true.
Or like in my generation, I think are uncultured in the ways of
I
that.
Don't know. Well, I mean, we've always been raised like I was raised on British comedies, and so then I raised you on British comedies. So mm-hmm. we've always mm-hmm. been just like I just think they're funny.
Oh, 100%.
And
I love
sometimes
that sense of
humor. Funnier than the original. I think maybe like the exception might be The Office.
I will
it didn't
agree
seem
with you
there. To do as well over there as clearly it did over here.
I wonder if part of that is because. For us to think it's funny, at least, we're very used to an American workplace versus, like, a British workplace.
Yeah. But I don't think even over there it was as successful as the adaptation was over here. I don't think it had as many seasons as this did. But I know there's, like, several other shows that they tried to bring over here and Americanize, and it just did not work at
Shout
all.
Shout out to Taskmaster.
Taskmaster. I think they tried to do Coupling over here, which didn't work out. And that show was... so funny.
Amanda,
yeah.
Which they
call
tried
me
to do
cat.
Is Call Me Cat,
yeah.
Which
not
it was
nearly
trash.
As funny. Not
and
nearly
I think
as funny.
If you enjoyed Call Me Cat, you should watch
you
Amanda.
You should watch Amanda
because, gosh, it's hilarious.
It is so much better.
So much better.
Yeah. So I think it's one of those things. Like, and I think it's just a particular brand of humor. You're either going to get it or you don't. And I don't know. I don't know why they don't fly. I don't know if people just over here can't deal with accents that are not. American accents, like we can watch a Boston accent, a Southern accent, like a Western accent, you know, but we can't do or like a Midwestern accent, but we can't do like a British accent that somehow I don't understand what they're saying. Like I don't know. I never understood why people can't understand. But again, I was raised on it, and a lot of other people probably
were
not.
Still make fun of Brave because they all had Scottish accents.
But I mean, it was a Scottish story.
It's a Scottish story. I know.
Oh.
I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm just saying it's a thing.
You know, sometimes Americans don't make a lot of sense.
No.
But we're not going to talk about
that. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about anything that's happening in America right now.
No. Hopefully we have some international listeners. Please listen to
according
us.
According to our analytics.
We are non-political.
Yeah, according to our analytics, most of y'all are downloading from out of the country. Or like half of y'all are downloading from out of the country.
Well,
so.
I don't know. I just hope some of you are downloading. And we appreciate you, especially the Super 8. You know, we're here for you. So if you guys ever have anything that you're here for us for, just let us know.
Yeah, please send us an email. I get so many emails that our account's going to be deactivated. So like, send us an email. Keep it active.
We're going to have to re-up. We're going to get some spam in there just so it stays active.
I know. Right. We really do appreciate you guys. I guess social meds.
Don't_look_podcast.
Offer our Instagram.
And Facebook, right?
We have a Don't Look Podcast Facebook page.
I'm at CatsMom75. And you're at Catastrophe Neko.
Yep. Or Cat Graves.
Or Cat Graves.
I'll give myself a shout out this time. Normally I don't, but.
What else?
Our email.
Don'tlookpodcast@gmail, which is about to be deactivated.
I reactivated it. You're good for another 18 months. I extended it as well because it was 3.
And that's it, right?
That's all of our social media. Unless you got a blue sky going on.
I didn't yet. I'm doing it. I'm gonna do it.
I know I said about our TikTok. I didn't do it yet. I'm trying to think of something fun that we can do.
January was just like such a bummer. Nobody could do anything.
I really kind of want to make our deer into like a full mascot suit because I think that'd be fun, and then he could wear like a little vest that has like the our logo and stuff on the back. I thought that'd be cute.
Okay.
I don't
go
know.
Go for it.
I'm also a furry, so that probably doesn't help. And then I guess our shout outs.
All right.
Shout out to Chuck for doing our disclaimer, Marshall for doing our intro, and Billy for doing our logo art. You can find Billy's information in the description below.
And everybody who puts on the Phoenixville Firebird Festival, we love it. We love you guys, and we can't wait for next year. And anybody who wants to see it, you can look up the Phoenixville Firebird Fest pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, and there's a movie. I don't know if they posted that anywhere.
Yeah, Built to Burn is the movie about the Firebird, which I know has been hitting some of the circuits that maybe if you're around there, you can see it. And if you just kind of Google it, you'll see it. They have some pretty awesome drone shots of the bird and the burning and coming up because it's one of the things that makes our town really special and cool and awesome. And just this, the kind of stuff you can't get everywhere and probably anywhere because I've lived in a lot of places but nowhere that's ever built a giant wooden phoenix at the end of every year, so check it out if you want.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably it for now.
I guess another shout out to the Colonial as always.
Yeah.
I don't know if when the Horrible got postponed.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's before or after this is coming out, but if it's after.
It's definitely going to be after.
Ah, cool. Go check it out. They do 3 great movies. Normally it happens on Super Bowl Sunday, but it got rescheduled this year. It's always a really fun time, a lot of really fun people, and it's just a bunch of people just going out there to have a gaff and have a lot of fun. It's got the same energy as a Super Bowl party, just to watch horror movies.
Yep.
So,
and if anybody is interested, tomorrow, one of the reasons why it got pushed a little bit is that...
this will be like past that.
Yeah, but as of tomorrow, they are showing The Stand with Mick Garris gonna be there, so it's gonna be the whole Stand, so like all 6 hours of it, but with Mick Garris, which is so cool. Wherever my horror peeps are, you know Mick Garris, I'm sure, and I'm excited. So, you know, hopefully the weather isn't so bad. I'm a little nervous that everything will be okay. Thankfully we're in walking distance, so we should be able to get there and back okay. But it should be really cool. So just another cool thing that you could do with your local movie palace. So support your local movie house.
Yeah, for real, support your local movie palace. I know that the one out by the Micro Center near us got closed, which is kind of sad, but
yeah. And we saw the Mahoning is starting to gear up for their new season this year, so they've already started putting out a lot of stuff that they're doing. I know I sent you one, the
Hitchcock one.
Hitchcock Till You Drop, is
Hitchcock
that what it was?
Till You Drop.
Yeah. So
4 great Hitchcock movies.
Yeah.
It's The Birds and Rear Window, 2 of my favorites. And then Psycho and Vertigo.
Yeah, and I sent one to the Hubs. They're doing a double feature with Rocky Horror Picture Show and Shock Treatment.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool that they're doing that. They're just like a ton of stuff. They do a ton of
things. Double feature of Repo Genetic Opera and then the other one that I haven't seen that he also does. Devil Circus. Well, Dolls Carnival.
They always say you can suggest a double feature. So
I know. I might suggest that to Bob at the Colonial.
And I'm
shout out to Bob. I love you, bro.
We love Bob. I hope you listen, Bob. I don't know that you do, but I hope you do.
I hope you listen. I hope that your kids are good. I hope Kim's doing great.
I had another thought. Grady Hendrix. Oh, Grady Hendrix, my horror crush. Rick, I love you so much.
Shout out to Grady Hendrix. I started reading it. I haven't gotten too far yet. I'm very sorry. I've been very bogged down.
Non-shout out to Waterstone, speaking of British things, because they only sent me one book when I ordered two, and then they said they were unable to get my second one, so they credited me back the cash.
Rude.
So I'm upset about that. But I feel like we do see Grady Hendrix at the Mahoning. We've seen him every year so far. So I'm really hoping he's going to come back to the Mahoning and then we can see the witchcraft show and get
Grady Hendrix has been to our town. I will say Grady Hendrix does frequently come out to our town for one of the marathons that I think probably the 24. I'm not sure, but he has come to our town. He has come to our theater. He has sat in our seats.
I mean,
he's a really great guy.
He's just,
and he writes women so well.
He's just a genuinely nice, down-to-earth guy and who just kind of like does his own thing and like does it all by himself. And well, I mean, like by himself, but like when he goes to the Mahoning, it's like him with his stuff, schlepping it around, taking himself up to go do his show, dragging himself back, signing a bunch of stuff in whatever weather we have going on in like northeastern Pennsylvania, which isn't always great. And just being like a genuinely like interested in talking to like every single person who comes up to him. And it just, if he's faking it, he's like the best fake ever. And if he's not, he's just like the most chill, like, hey, I'm Grady, what's up kind of guy. Like you could just talk to him and it's no big deal. Even though like inside you're fangirling, it's totally fine. Yeah. Just
he's a really sweet guy.
Seems to like just like a really nice dude. You know, just like really cool, a lot of cool stuff to talk about and just like really supportive of the fans, which is so nice, which I didn't anticipate, but it was such a joy. So yeah, shout out to Grady Hendrix. I love the new book. I finished it in a day. I thought it was great.
That's because you had a day where you could just sit and read it all day.
I wouldn't say that it is. Everybody's saying it's like the best one yet. I don't think it's my favorite one.
You said that it doesn't have the like classic Grady's break in like somewhere around the middle where things just go to
things just go to hell.
Would you say it's like Final Girls in that respect, or would you say no?
More so like that in the way that the plot moves.
Okay.
But there was definitely less horror in this one in a traditional horror sense, more of a social horror.
So far, I'm like a couple chapters in. I'm really enjoying it. I think that the character development is really good.
You
get to know everyone so quickly.
You do. But I just wanted it to be more scary, I guess. Like more like supernatural scary and not like heavy topics that just make me sad.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's very
fair. Which doesn't diminish it in any way. It's just not.
That's how it was going to be.
Yeah. It's just not what I like the best, especially right now when everything is just kind of dismal and grim. Like I could have used, you know, just monsters or ghosts or somebody's head falling off and rolling around, because that's kind of comforting to me in a very weird way. But you know, that's all I gotta say. It doesn't mean that it's bad. It's certainly not bad. It's great. It's wonderful. Everyone should read it. I think it's an important book to read, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, it feels really relevant.
It does. So I think in that aspect, it's fabulous. But if you're looking for just like a horror, super scary, like that kind of thing, like that's not going to be the one for you. You're better off with My Best Friend's Exorcism, or Horror Store. Really is probably the most traditionally horror.
Store is absolutely terrifying. It's the only book that I have read where as I'm reading it, I have this like outwardly reacted with the environment around me because I've been scared.
And I love Horror Store. It's so clever. Everything about it is lovely.
It's so good.
Yeah. But excellent, excellent, excellent book. Loved it. Thought it was great. Hate that Waterstones only sent us one copy, but that's okay because I feel like we're gonna go see him at some point. And
I really,
even if he doesn't come to the Mahoning, I'm gonna have to find the closest place that we can get to him and go see him.
I really like the other, we got the cover where it's like the school or the house, I'm sorry, on the front. And I really like the cover with the lava lamp. I would really like one with that cover.
Well, we got the special overseas edition because it had the blood drips. It had the blood.
It's such a nice copy. I cannot deny. I freaking love this copy. It's gorgeous. It's signed. I love it. And we didn't have the other cover at that time. I just prefer the other cover.
You know what else is scary is How to Sell a Haunted House. That one was pretty scary.
Oh, How to Sell a Haunted House is, I think, one of the sleepers in his thing, because I don't think enough people talked about it.
No, and that is a genuinely pretty scary.
Oh, yeah. That one is like the most, like, I felt it creeping up my spine and in my chest.
Yeah, that's a pretty horrific story there.
I would say How to Sell a Haunted House and Horror Story are probably your top two scariest. Best Friend's Exorcism is very fun, very creepy, very disturbing, but I wouldn't say it's like as like,
I like Best Friend's Exorcism a lot because that's how teenagers are.
Yeah, 100%.
And they are very scary.
That's true. I think I read it like when I was like around that age too. So I was like, oh yeah, this tracks. 100%.
Like, even though it's set in the 80s, it's like it still was.
It's still relevant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that wraps us up for this episode. Thank you everyone for listening. Yeah. I know that we took our tangent at the end. I hope you stuck around. If not, we don't blame you.
Yep.
But we'll catch you in the next one.
Yep. And the next one, I think, is just like I think we go back to some nice schlocky, just fun crap in the next one. So neat. I'm going to be excited for that. Yeah, we take a little break because then it gets intense for the last couple of months, so should be fun.
All right,
we'll see you around.
Do I say something at the end?
Oh crap, no, I forgot.
Honestly, I don't think I say anything here.
All right, so I guess in that case all I can say is, if no. You know, if you go on an adventure and you maybe make some questionable choices as far as society is concerned, and you come back and, you know, the guy that you said you were going to marry is still really into you, and you're like, hey, I made some questionable choices, and he's like, you know what, dog? It's your body. You can do what you want. I can't tell you how to do anything. I might be a little bit jealous because, like, they got to hang out with you when I wasn't around, but you do what you need to do. Then the best thing I can say is maybe you should look.
I think you should look. And listen. Yeah, 100%. Look at that. Listen. He is valid. He is like a king in that respect.
Yes.
As the kids would say.
Yeah. So, yeah. Good on you, Max.
Good on you, Max.
Good on you. Look and listen to that
one.
Look
and listen to Max.
Yeah. Good examples.
In today's society, I feel like we're losing our Maxes.
I don't know. I think they're there. They're coming up. I just hope they don't get squashed.
I feel like they're getting yelled over by a lot of Duncans.
Well, you need to read The Gate to Women's Country. That'll explain everything. Mm.